Good morning. Just got to get it close enough so I can actually read it. Sorry about that. I'm either the absolute right person to be talking about this today, or I'm absolutely the wrong person. And maybe at the end you can choose. But, you know, I think praying, none of us find easy. And certainly I've learned a lot from this today, so that's why it's probably right for me to be doing it, because I've learned as I've studied. But I still fall well short of the mark. You know, in our a small room in our house, on the back of the door, it's got a wee poem, and I should have brought it today, but I want to read you and put some of the words here for me. I woke up early this morning and jumped right into the day. I had so much to accomplish. I didn't have time to pray. Problems? Why didn't you help me? My child, you didn't ask. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. So as you've, I hope you enjoyed that. But, you know, George Mueller, we learned about last week, and he was a real man of prayer, certainly. well short of that. But, you know, God is all powerful and he wants us to pray. So perhaps we'll take our reading first from James 5, verse 13 to 18, please. James 5, 13 says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This little angel here that we have at home in our lounge is not an idol, but it is a little angel. And it was given to Anne by an Irish Catholic lady in Dunedin when Anne was in hospital with Joshua. Some of you, well, most of you will know that Joshua had quite a bad car accident in 2006, and Anne spent a lot of time with him during his remediation and recovery. And you know, that couple, the Irish couple, were in the ISIS centre in Dunedin, and the man had had a skiing accident, had a head injury, and so that family were also recovering during that time. And Anne had some very interesting discussions with that lady. And this lady was quite a devout Catholic. She said that if she was back in Ireland, she would not talk to a Protestant. And but because she was away from a priest, etc., it was okay. But one of the things that Anne and her discussed was the desire and the need to pray. And this lady was absolutely ignorant of the idea that we can pray and that we should pray to God. So I thought that's where I'm going to start off in the first slide today. I thought, look, hopefully no one here is ignorant that we should pray. But I thought that's one of the barriers to prayer, is obviously if we don't know that we should pray and we're not doing it, well, that's not what we ought to be doing. So James tells us that we need to pray in all circumstances. Are you in trouble? Pray. Are you not in trouble? Pray. Bring praise to God. You know, in good and bad circumstances, not just when we're desperate and a dog's going to attack us while we're doing the paper round mat. You know, we need to pray at all times. And we're encouraged to pray for one another. And that's why I have a prayer diary. Graham and Leander put a lot of effort into that. It's a yellow one. You shouldn't be using the blue one anymore. Get a yellow one and pray for one another. Are you using it for its intended purpose, not just so you can find out someone's phone number? And we learned that Elijah was a man just like us. So we don't need to be just men to pray, but God will use ordinary people just like us to bring about powerful and effective results. It doesn't mean that we're powerful and effective, but God is, and he will use us praying to achieve those results. So it's not just for righteous people or the elders of the church or the priest in the case of this lady that she thought, well, the priest does all the praying. We don't need to pray at all. We're just commoners. But that's not the case. God wants us to pray. And the next slide says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, and this is the verse at the front of our prayer diary, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, Anne and I had a bit of a discussion about what does this actually mean. But you notice it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. You know, there's many times we'd like to turn the clock back, isn't there? We don't like the circumstances we're in. But we don't need to give thanks for those circumstances. Maybe our car's got a flat tyre. We don't need to be thankful for getting a flat tyre, but we can be thankful that we've actually stopped without having an accident. We can be thankful that no one else got hurt. And so we are to give thanks in all circumstances. And it is God's will for us. And also the verse that's been up the front today on the overhead, Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So we don't give up easily. We're faithful. We continue on and keep doing that. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So hopefully that's established that we should pray. It's not just for super religious people. It's for everyone. God wants us to pray, and we're encouraged to do that. So that was one of the barriers, is just that we didn't know that we should pray. Well, let's get over that and say, well, now we do. The second one is unbelief and doubt. And I got a wee bit of information here from the Word for Today. If some of you use that, you might recognise this, where Bob Gass says, your confidence in prayer is not based on your ability to speak, but on God's ability to hear and to understand. He knows what you're trying to say. You know, God's not limited. He is all powerful. And He wants us to pray. And He will interpret that. He will understand what we're saying. And He will answer that. And Bob goes on to say, either learn to pray or become good at worrying. I thought I liked that. What you give to God, He handles. What you keep, you handle. So why not hand it over to God and not worry about it? And in Psalm 37:5, it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. You know, we shouldn't have unbelief and doubt. We should believe that God is all-powerful. He is able to do that, that He's able, and it's not on our strength. The next one is lack of faith and patience. You know, in Hebrews it tells us that it's impossible without faith. It's impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It doesn't say that those who are half-hearted, that have a little bit of faith, that are not patient. You know, we are to earnestly seek after God and believe that He is able to answer us. And again, a bit of a quote from Bob. God is not some force out there. He is your Heavenly Father. Your highest priority should not be getting your needs met, but building your relationship with God. You know, it's not just about us, or it's not about us. It's about God and about what He wants. And we'll talk about that a wee bit later on. So let's have faith. Let's pray in faith and be patient in that. You know, for years and years, Anne and I, and others as well, prayed for her father's salvation. You know, we didn't actually see that until a few weeks before he died. And we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't think, oh, that's beyond God. Nothing is beyond God. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. The next one, my dad used to quote this, I think actually, probably incorrectly, or maybe I've remembered it incorrectly. He used to say, the fear of man is a snare. Now maybe that's a different version, not sure, but in the NIV it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know, do we actually worry sometimes about what people will say to us or whatever, you know? Is that why we stay silent sometimes in the worship service? because we're worried about what other people might say. You know, Matthew gives us quite a bit of encouragement there in the writings of Matthew's Gospel. It says we're not to be like hypocrites just standing and being seen, you know, I'm up the front and so I'm praying and that's really great. No, that's not what it's about. And also we're told not to keep babbling on like pagans. So if you have your rosary beads and you keep working away at those and keep on saying the same things over and over again, that's inappropriate. But you know, God does want us to pray. We shouldn't be silent, and we shouldn't be silent because of fear of what other people might say. Just do it anyway and bear the consequences because God knows what's in our hearts. The next one I thought about is from 1 Peter 3 and 7. And it's lack of respect for your marriage partner. Well, that's my interpretation of it. It says that husbands, and it's directed to husbands predominantly, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You know, if you're not getting on very well with your spouse, it's not going to help your prayer life, is it? You're either working together or you're working against each other. And so I want to encourage you to work together and so that you can pray and that your prayers will be answered. So if you don't have respect for your marriage partner, it's not going to help your prayer life. Lack of personal discipline. 1 Peter 4 and 7 says, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And in 1 Corinthians it says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So again, encourage you, if you're at work, if you're at home, if you're at a party, wherever, do it all for the glory of God. And sometimes we need to sort of sit back and go, is this actually bringing myself glory? Am I having a lot of fun? What would God really think of what we're doing? Because we're encouraged to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. In this bag, sorry, Joshua, I'm going to finger your bread. Remember in the Bible that Hannah used to bring along a little bit of a garment or whatever for Samuel each year? Well, Anne's got into the habit of bringing Joshua a loaf of bread. That's home-baked bread. It's nice and warm, smells delicious. I'll try not to eat any of it, Joshua. This bread is going to be given to Joshua later on. And it's pretty delicious bread. You know, where am I coming from? Well, in 1 Corinthians, it says, don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? You know, that started off the teaspoon or whatever of yeast got thrown in there along with everything else. And I know it's got a mixer in it, but that whole yeast worked through the whole lot of that dough. Otherwise, it would be really big on one side and really hard and lumpy on the other, wouldn't it? It went through the whole dough. So what's that got to do with anything? Well, that yeast went through the whole bread, and so it is that what we do, what we say, what we think, our whole behaviour actually influences others, just the same as that yeast does. You know, it can be a positive or a negative influence, can't it? And we've got to work that through. Think about previous slide. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know, our lack of discipline will rub off onto others. If we are well disciplined, it seems to be like a ratchet. Our really good discipline doesn't necessarily rub off to others, but certainly our bad discipline seems to rub off very easily. You know, it's easy to go downhill, to have sort of slack attitudes and stuff. And perhaps today, Stephanie and Darren, as you guys are thinking of going off to university particularly, you know, think about that yeast, our influence on others. And, you know, I really want to encourage you guys, make sure that you go to a church and where where God is honoured and the Bible is treated as true, you know, and meet with fellow Christians and make sure that they pump you up and keep you on that good behaviour, not so that you will earn salvation, but that God will be honoured. You know, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. If you want to find out what that means, ask Ian. Okay? It's not a good word, I tell you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. You know, I just finished preparing this on Friday, and I thought, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch the news. And on the news on Friday, it was that one third of all people that are admitted to the emergency department in Canterbury Hospital is because of alcohol. And then, shame above shame, Justin Bieber is clocked in his Lamborghini for speeding while he's drunk. Now that brings it right home, doesn't it? Okay. He's a nobody as far as I'm concerned, but the world sees this guy as a real hero. And yet he's messed up. He's got drunk on something, and he's going to pay the price for it. You know, those are only two very small examples, but you know, it says the Bible is right. 2,000 years, but it still says if you get drunk, you'll end up leading at least to debauchery, which is lack of morals and all sorts of lack of inhibitions, etc. So don't go there. Be clean-minded and self-controlled that you can pray. Number 10 is unconfessed sin. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely heard my voice in prayer. So that's a prayer of David. And I thought, what does cherish mean? And maybe that little angel there, maybe we cherish. I'm not sure that we do, but cherish is something you value or hang on to. And we shouldn't hang on to and value our sin. It must be confessed to God and put behind us. And again, I'm not sure where I got this quote from, but it says, whether or not we regard sin as a big deal, we must remember that it was a big enough deal to nail Jesus to a cross. So we might go, it doesn't really matter, it's just pretty minor, pretty small. But you know, God knows all our sin, and he wants us to confess it. So unconfessed sin certainly inhibits our ability to be heard by God and to have a powerful and effective prayer life. But thank you, Graham, for the verse this morning. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We don't need to just sort of have this guilty state. No, we have been forgiven, and God will continue to forgive us, but we do need to confess. The next one is, I think for me, probably where I fall down more than anything, if I'm honest with you. And that's the one of self-sufficiency or complacency rather than commitment. You know, I'm going to do it in my strength. Let's pray last. Let's get on with the job. And I think it was a few weeks ago I listened to Charles Stanley on TV, and he was actually at the board meeting of their church. And he says, I think we should really pray about this. And I think one of the board members said to him, we're far too busy for that. Let's just get on and make the decision. And he realised that he was really in quite sort of big trouble. But, you know, sometimes we're a bit like that, aren't we? We just go, let's solve this humanly speaking, rather than saying we're going to actually pray first. Some of the shops around town might say, buy here last. Because, you know, you're only going to buy in one place, it's like shop here last, because that means you've actually bought what you want. But I'm saying pray first. Don't wait, just pray. Because if we start looking at what the Bible actually says in John 15:5, it says Jesus said apart from me you can do nothing. And in Matthew 1:7-1, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And in James 4:14 says, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And I went to the Roman exhibition at the museum there a few weeks ago. And of course, always got to go past Bert Munro and see what he's got to say. Yeah. Colin's put his hand up. You know, there's a wee bit of video there. He says, you know, the human's just like a piece of grass. You know, you have a wee flower and it grows up in the summertime and it just returns to dust. And when you're dead, you're dead. Well, he's got half it right. Our life is like a little flower growing up. It's my birthday today. I've gained another whole year. You know, I see Dan on the way here, I've forgotten, I've had so many years, I've forgotten how old I am. But you know, our life flashes before us, you know. Some of you young people think, yeah, you're a really old guy, but it doesn't feel like it from my point of view, okay? Our life is really quick, and we need to make good use of it and to trust God. But, you know, Bert, just to finish that off, Bert was wrong. He says, when you're dead, you're dead. You know, the Bible says that one day we will have to give account of ourselves before God. So think about that as well in terms of our behaviours. And do we trust God? Are we self-sufficient and think, let's just get on with this? Are we really committed, or are we just sort of ho-hum about it? You know, that's certainly where I fall down, and I think it's probably a common thing. And we just don't pray, when in actual fact we know that we should pray. Unforgiveness. That's pretty strong as well, isn't it? When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And in Matthew 5, it says, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. David, your talk this morning was pretty strong, pretty out there in terms of forgiveness. It's really necessary, isn't it? We've been forgiven, and so we need to forgive others. But unforgiveness can stop our prayers, and certainly God will not hear us if we do not commit to forgiving others. Praying for selfish desires rather than God's will. You know, sometimes this is pretty common, isn't it? Oh God, can I please win the lotto this week? You know, can I do this or do this? Can I have a more high-paying job? You know, can I meet a really pretty girl or something? You know, sometimes we've got our own selfish desires rather than what God wants. And in Philemon 2 and 3, it tells us that we should consider others better than ourselves. And if that's our attitude, we'll always go a long way. It says, pray, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, not just what we want, but what God wants. Because in 1 John 5 and 14, next one, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So I guess by implication, if we don't ask in his will, don't expect to be heard and don't expect to receive. And in James 4 and 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So, have we got the right motives when we pray? And are we actually gaining out of it, or is somebody else gaining? Are they considered better than us? And are we doing what God would want us to? So just to summarise, how to overcome barriers to prayer. And one of the things I must apologise, John, that I didn't actually look at the title very well of this talk. It was meant to be Barriers to Answered Prayer, but I turned it around to Barriers to Effective Prayer. But it's maybe Barriers to Praying, Barriers to Having Our Prayers Answered. There's lots of things, and there's lots of barriers come in our way because we don't do what God would want us to do. And so James 4 and 8 is probably the sort of verse that I'd like you to take away. Come near to God and he will come near to you. So it's a mutual thing. God hasn't moved, but if we come near to him, he will certainly help us and guide us in our lives. So first one, commit to regular prayer corporately in groups and as an individual. You know, that just means in the worship service like we have today, don't be frightened. No one's going to trample on you or pull you down or whatever. Come up and pray. Be encouraged to do that. And also, if you're in a prayer group, keep on praying. If you're not in a prayer group, join one. And individually, we should pray as well. We're told to love one another and put others before ourselves. If we don't do that, well, that's not great. We should live a disciplined life. I've probably beaten that one to death, but that's really important, isn't it? Have faith in God, just like the song we've just sung. Have faith in God and believe that he's able. Don't give up. Have patience and he will answer. Fear God and not people. Confess our sins. Forgive one another as God has forgiven us. Pray in God's will and rely on God to do right. And don't give up. So hopefully there's some positives to finish. Lots of barriers to stop us from praying or to be ineffective. But if we do those things, we will have a much better prayer life and we'll be more effective Christians to be able to pass on our faith. So hopefully you found that encouraging. Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can pray to you and that you do hear us. Lord, we thank you that you are all powerful. You are over all. You are almighty and you are the great Redeemer. Lord, we thank you that we can have forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can have ongoing forgiveness because you will forgive us if we confess our sins. Father, we confess that we are weak, but you are strong, and we really place our faith in you. We want to be patient, Lord, and just help us not to expect answers immediately, but Lord, we just do want to keep on trusting you and relying on you because you are so powerful. Lord, we just want to say we love you today. We thank you for the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we just praise you again that we've had the opportunity to share together and learn together and bring our requests and prayers before you. Amen.